All right, this is beginning of the second tape, part two with Hy Vandenberg. Tell me about some umpires you remember. Did you have a favorite umpire or two, or maybe you had an umpire that you didn't particularly care for because maybe he squeezed
you a little bit?
I
remember the names of them. One was Major Kurth,
mm-hmm.
and he was a former football player and a rugged, tough guy. And ball players didn't fool with him because he'll walk up, knock on the door, and go and kick the hell out of them. He did that to one ball player. The fellow wanted to take Major Kurth on, and he went up, knocked on the door, and the guy opened the door. He walked in, he says, "Now we're finished." He beat the hell out of the ball player. There's one other one that he was a Dutchman, like me. What the hell, Mac something. He was in the International League, and he was a former Major League umpire, mm-hmm. but I guess they demoted him because he was pretty hot-headed about things. But, you know, I used to kid him a lot, you know, but the other ball players would get on him. But when I was pitching, he'd call perfect games for me. I could hit that corner, you know, and I'd get that ball every time on that, not outside. If it was that much outside, he could have called it the ball easy.
Yeah.
But he could call it a strike just as well.
Yeah.
And, what the hell was his name? But he was, and every time I got to pitching a ball game, I walked by and said, "God damn it, you should be back in the big leagues." I said, you just call a perfect game every time I pitch. He says, "Well," he said, "if I like you," he said, "I can call a hell of a good one." He did. He thought a lot of me, you know, because I was always nice to him. I never got on him. I thought, Jesus, tough enough back there.
Yeah. You have a, judging from what you've told me so far, because this today is the first time I've met you, you kind of had a reputation maybe of being, I don't want to say hothead maybe, but you just, sometimes your temper got the best of you. So with that in mind, were you ever thrown out of any games?
No, I never get thrown out of ball games for my temper. But I will fight. Mm-hmm. You know, only the fella comes out and challenges me on the mound. I've had a number of ball players start out there, and I drop my glove and start walking in towards them. And they turn and they go to first base, and then they stand there and holler at me. And I told them, I said, "Well, you're coming up again." I said, "I'll drop you on your butt."
In that book right there, Hy, there's a picture you showed me, just a couple pages, there's a, looks like a big brouhaha, a big fight. You said you jumped in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh, this big left-hander that went up the Giants, he was pitching a game at Baltimore. I forget who the coach was, the Newark, or the manager at the Newark. I think it was Newark was there. I look at the uniforms, but he kept bugging him about pitching. He said, "Let's see that ball. Show me the ball." So, they wheeled around and threw the ball right at his head, and then the fight started. So we all jumped in. I run, come out of the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
I was down there to relieve again. And I had to get in the middle of them. I dove right up the top, and I let it down the ground. It parted. Nobody's fighting. What the hell is coming off?
You were kind of disappointed, weren't you?
Yeah.
You're looking for a good fight.
Big Melton, Cliff Melton, my buddy. I'm going to save his life.
How about traveling? Name,
when you said Travis Jackson.
Travis Jackson, okay.
Yeah, Travis right. Jackson. He was my roommate. And then there was Jimmy Fox. Who the? The room with Louis P. Chiazza.
Right, Chiazza.
Louis P. Chiazza is the one that broke his leg when him and Joe Moore run together mm-hmm. on a fly ball in the Polo Grounds. His father was an ambassador, and he was a gentleman. Him and I used to go down Broadway and to eat every night at the Italian restaurant. Of course, Chiazza, you know, he's Italian.
Yeah.
Wonderful fellow. But him and I got along fine, you know. Better than anybody else on the club, I guess, because him and I roomed together.
When you traveled, was it all by train? You never flew?
No.
Never?
No. No, the only flying I did is... when did I fly? When I went to Los Angeles, I flew down there and died. There and I got married.
Oh.
My wife died, you know. I lived a long time after she died.
You think it makes a difference now? But you guys were a certainly closer team than the guys now, you know.
Oh, I think so.
Think it makes a difference?
Because salaries, you know, $30,000 was a big salary then. And Babe Ruth was the only one getting $100,000, so he was just out of this world compared to the other ball players.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the ball players in my time, the 30s and 40s, and possibly part of the 50s, that you had to be one hell of a ball player to break in, because there was only so many leagues then. And to knock a guy out of his position up there, you had to be one hell of a ball player.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Yeah, there are only 16 teams.
That's like the Dean boys. They come up there. He had it.
Yeah.
And once he got in there, they couldn't get him out of there.
They say you got married in 34, right?
1934.
Now, being away from home, traveling, you know, playing baseball 6-8 months a year, being away as much as you were, was that tough on you?
Well, no, not so bad. It's only when my wife had her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it was tough, because she was home the whole summer and taking care of the kid. And I flew in when I got a day off, you know. I'd fly in and fly back out the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But she traveled with me all the time.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
See, she was with me one half the season, because when I went to Boston, we had a room there at the hotel. And when I went to Syracuse, so we rented an apartment there. And we'd be on the road for a week and back home again. And then all the ball players, it says, would sign a message, you know, and go down. S-I-T, stay in bed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be home in the morning. Don't move, stay in bed. Don't come down and meet him at the train.
Mm-hmm. Did you do any barnstorming?
Not the major leagues. But the only time we barnstormed, that time when Minneapolis, after they won the pennant,
uh-huh.
They went on a tour. And that's when, they hit 69 home runs.
Joe Hauser
hit 69 home runs, and we won the pennant.
How well did you know him?
Huh?
How well did you know Joe Hauser?
Oh, I slept with him. the little World Series.
Yeah.
Him and I, he went to see some friends and took me with him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one of the cleanest ball players I ever saw. Never went chasing, never drank, never threw his money around.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was perfect. And he can hit that potato.
Mm-hmm. How come he never made it in the...
Well, it was one of his knees.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the hell it was, but the guy could hit. He hit some pretty damn good pitching, you know. That's some of those big leaguers up there
that
went up. And he hit them. He hit them damn good. But Joe, like, he went to Kelly to bargain for a salary. He said, well, Mike, I hit 69 home runs. I think I deserve a raise. Well, he probably was getting maybe his contract called for maybe $6,000 or $5,000. I doubt if he gets much more than that, $5,000 or $4,000. Because when you got $800 a month, that isn't a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
And my contract, I know that I got called for... I think it was $3,500 the first time, and that's only about $200, $300, $400 a week. That don't last.
No.
You know, when you have to pay, when you're away from home, you've got to pay your way half the time.
Yeah.
But now these ball players, now if they get their, they get their laundry, they get extra money, and everything.
And yeah, they've never made a car reservation, plane reservation, never carried a bag.
No.
Yeah. It's quite a bit. It's quite a bit different today. Did you play against any of the old back in the 30s or 40s? You play against any of the old Negro League teams?
Who?
The Negro League teams?
Yeah, I pitched against the. I was pitching semi-pro ball down in Leroy, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that reminded me of about Canada.
All right.
But Tuesday, with the Kansas City Royals, or what the hell was
Kansas
it?
Kansas City Monarchs?
Kansas City Monarchs.
With Satchel Paige?
They were on a tour, you know, and they were beating the ass off everybody. And I was pitching a game against for Leroy. And that's an all-salary club, you know, for a semi-pro club, all-salary. Good ball club. And little Meep out there pitching. They were coming through, they had finished a ball game, and they're coming by bus, you know.
Yeah.
I think they had two buses. And they come through and they stop to watch the ball game. And it's Truesdale. He was an outfielder. He came over to the ballpark the next year after I'd been up in Canada. And he said, yeah, we come by. He said, where'd you all pull out on us, Vandenberg? He said, you know, you cost us some money. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'll tell you, it's like this. We come in and we watch you throwing that ball, and you were winging them on by and pretty quick. He says, we went and bought some more Louisville bats, and we got some light ones so we could get around on you. And I said, when we got there, you were gone. We were disappointed, not the money for light bats. So from there, about the middle of the summer, this fella that only, you got enough?
Yeah.
This fellow that owned the ball club and the business down there, he wanted to cut my salary because they were getting another fella in. And I said, hell no. I said, I'm going to take a cut. I was getting a pretty good salary, you know. Shit, and I was winning ball games for a ball salary club and going like hell. I was hitting too. So I ended up calling home to my folks and told my mother to have Pop come and get me, my stepdad. And they drove down, picked me up. And I came back up to Minneapolis. And then the Northwest Umpires Association, I forget what his name was now, died. He said, I got a job for you. He said, tell him to kiss your ass and come on up here. He said, I got a job for you. I jump on a train. I buy three bats, three Earl Smith bats, because I was a good hitter.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to pitch, because I like to hit. And he had a Mossbank, Saskatchewan, Canada. That's up in Saskatchewan, near Regina, Moose Jaw, in there.
Mm-hmm.
I pitched ball all around there then. But I don't forget what my salary was. I think they paid me $500 a month, room and board.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, well, for a kid out of high school, and I hit fourth up there, and the third baseman, every time he got on first base, he had to go all the way home. He says, God damn it, Hi. He says, every time I get on base, he says, I'm all in after I get to the base. I hit an awful long ball.
You were wearing them out, eh?
Yeah, I hit an awful long ball. But I got that salary. I still got some Canadian coins from 1914 that I brought back with me, but I took all the silver dollars out of the bank up there that they have American money.
Yeah.
And it wasn't too much. Around $800-$900 I think I had coming after. Everything was paid for, room and board. I could go over to the pool hall and play pool all day long and never charge me anything. And the whole town used to follow us out, you know. Mossbank would close up. The whole goddamn town would leave, follow us. And we changed our clothes out in the prairie, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No showers or anything. And the Indians would come in on their papooses, you know, with their papoose on their back, riding a horse. They'd get up there, and we'd have beer, you know. You're not supposed to have it only in your home. We'd have it out there, and in a big circle, and they'd be around us, their ass naked, changing clothes. You know. I never thought anything of it. But that was something. And I'm a big green pea. I get on the train with three bats strapped together, and I'm a little suitcase and the clothes I got on my back. I went down there. Geez, I had a nice room, a nice woman that cooked for me, her and her husband. Mm-hmm. She was nice. Except I had a damn big dog out there. I had pet him one time, the next time, what a big son of a bitch. He wasn't biting me at all. I'd lost my arm.
What about the equipment that you guys played with, being compared to today's uniforms and gloves and things like that?
I like the uniform. I don't like the ones they got now. They look like skinny tadpoles. Those guys have little skinny legs all the way up the back of their cheeks, their butt.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look right to me. You know, if you blouse your pants right down there, they look nice. They're tight down here, but
here
they're skinny all the way down, tight. You see their jock strap, you know, the middle jock strap looks like hell hanging out there.
You always took pride in the way you looked when you were playing ball?
Oh, I was very careful how I dressed. I didn't grab my nuts and squeeze my balls like some. Well, they don't do that. What it is, that damn cup, they have to push it down, or the rates lift it up, you know.
Yeah.
Because it finds the goddamn thing cuts you in here.
I know when I first came in, we went downstairs, you were talking about I think you're talking about the Phillies anyway. You don't really like the way that they look. You've been watching them on TV.
There's some jerky outfits. I don't like the White Sox uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they got tights on.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Well, yeah, you're right. It's all skin tight.
The uniforms remind me of death.
Well, the other night, John Kruk, I guess he split his pants. That's how tight the pants were on him. So.
Well,
how about like locker rooms and playing fields? Were they?
Well, like I say, we'll go back to Newark, but
well,
Jersey
City. Like that, but
they go back to that. They had showers, beautiful showers in there, nice big hot showers, and then the room when you come out, they got a built-in pan there that's got food in there to clean your feet up when you come out. But Minneapolis ballpark, what a rat trap that was.
Now, where was that exactly?
That was down 31st in Nicollet.
Mm-hmm. Was that called
it's
Nicollet Park?
It's a bank on there now.
Is it called Nicollet Park? Or
yeah, Nicollet Ballpark. Somebody put a big mouse trap in my locker room.
Uh-huh.
And when I come in the morning, here was a goddamn big sewer rat in there. Boy, he looked like a dog. And I said, who the hell put that in there? And the damn thing got a hold of one of my good $10, $12 sweatshirt.
Yeah.
You bought nothing but good wool shirts.
When you were playing high, this is something that fascinates me, just the difference in when you were playing and the difference today. You were talking about throwing the ball, about knocking guys down, rushing guys back. That was part of the game when you played.
Yeah.
Now, guy gets knocked down or rushed back, what's the first thing that happens? There's a big fight.
Yeah. Well, the trouble is that these fellas, any time they rush a fellow back, sluiced him up. He gets up there too damn tight, and you don't want him up there that's going to knock your brains out. So you move him back. Anytime a ball's in front of him and hits it up in here, and he has to duck back, that's part of baseball. But when they hit him in the back of the head, that's murder.
Yeah.
I never did that.
Never threw the guy's head.
I never threw the back of his head. If I want to hit you, I hit you with a curveball. Because if you duck down, that ball chops in on you, I can hit you from the back, you know. Mm-hmm. But I can put one under your chin and you can get by, you know. But I've seen one guy hit with a ball and rattle off his skull, his cap. It was a deliberate knockdown, you know. And I wouldn't do that, but I pitch tight. And that's why I'd be a little too tight sometimes, but it was meant I didn't go in there with the idea of knocking him down by hitting him. Because what the hell, he's going to walk anyway.
Yeah.
So why take that run away? Take that run out of there.
How about would the catcher, or would you yell out to the batter, or would the catcher say to the batter, would you warn him that one was coming, or maybe two were coming, for him to be on the lookout? Or You do any of that?
No. I never had that trouble.
No? You never yelled, here, you know, I'm going to stick this one in your ear and then do it?
I think I had a catcher down at Sanborn when I first playing ball. I was striking out 12 and 14 guys a game. Mm-hmm. And this one guy threw his bat out at me. And I picked it up and threw it way out to the center field and told him to throw it further.
How about the money? You said when you signed your first deal, it was it for $400, and then you went out and bought the Hudson, was it?
Yeah.
Now, how much was that was your signing bonus, I take it then, right? $400?
Yeah.
That
was my salary for the month.
What was the most money you ever made in a year playing ball?
Total salary?
Yeah, for 1 year.
For 1 year, total salary?
And what was the most you ever
made? $16,000.
And where was that?
That was at World Series. We got $7,000 they took out on that. I think I paid twice on the damn tax on that damn thing, because the one I made, they're supposed to take the tax out when they give you that, they take it out of the amount you win. And if they took it out, they said, so I remember them saying something about you have to pay tax that money because it's taxed already.
Yeah.
Which it is, you know, even at the window. So when I had my fellow make out my tax down on 38th Street and 34th Avenue there, he says, oh my God, he said, this is the biggest contract that I've seen this year. And I had put down the $7,000. And my season salary was $8,000. It turned around $16,000 with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, this is the biggest one I got in this part of town down here. That was around 38th Street and 24th Avenue. Mm-hmm. Was.
Other than the story about the where you beat up the brothers over the $10,000, any other stories about the... guy, maybe a general manager, an owner, or something like that, cheating you out of money or stealing money from you? Any other stories?
What about it?
I'm just saying, other than the where you beat up the brother, did that ever happen to you any other time? Where
no,
somebody promised you something and reneged?
No, I never had no trouble that way. But that happened up in Montreal. He came in. I'd pitched two or three days in a row, you know. I went in really. In this game, that night, we were about 10 runs behind. And so we're all going high and finish it up. I went in there, and, you know, no heart in the game. You know it's lost. Yeah, they're not hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And they knocked our brains out to start with. So, I didn't stop them. I wasn't throwing as hard as I could, you know, because I was a little tired from, you know, pitching so many innings. So this Ogden comes in and he gets up back of one of the about the tight end boy, what the hell his name was again, they're making a difference. But he stood behind him and he said, you think you're laying down on me out there and you can't have it in the ball game? He said, I'll fix you on that. He said, you ain't gonna lay down on me. I said, geez, I jumped up and I run back there and I run him right up against the wall. And I stuck my arm right under his chest. And I said, don't you ever tell me I laid down the ball game. I said, I've never laid down in my life. And I said, I loved that pitch. And I said, you better keep your damn mouth shut from now on. And, geez, he backed up, you know, and that's the start of it, you know. And that's when he said, well, he said, I'll give you a screwing too, you know. I'll screw you. But I got a lot of meat off him, though. I wore him down. I wore him out the next day. His head hit that wall.
You can still see it.
And his head, boom, boom. And the ball players in there, you know, in the clubhouse, they came out. They were pissed off because, hell, I was winning. I won 17 ball games. And after that fight, next day after that there, I pitched a shutout. They said, well, Vandenberg didn't get beat up very much. It hurt much. He pitched another shutout.
Did you do any work in the off season? Did you have any part-time jobs after the season was over to make ends meet, or was the salary you're making enough to go around?
I worked as putting in fire over this fire explosion, you know, things in the ceiling. I worked for a company there. I was plant superintendent,
mm-hmm.
and I run the plant for them. And that was one of the jobs. Then I worked at Bierman Fruit Company too,
mm-hmm.
and I had to go down there 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock, then carry the fruit off of the trains that come in. And I used to hate the banana trains because they had big spiders that went across my shoulder like that. They had them in a fruit jar. That's how it got as big as my hand walking around there. And they always pulled that white. I wore a white coat, you know.
Yeah.
That they gave you. I used to pull that way up over my ear, and there was a little, kind of a green butterfly. They sting. I don't know what the hell they were, but I used to love to put the potatoes out, you know, with sacks of potatoes. The guy that come and put them on his back, he took it, lay it on. Vandenberg, I'll kid you if you do that again.
How about the superstitions, Hi? Were you superstitious at all when you were playing?
I think the majority of ball players are superstitious.
How about you? Anything you did?
I'm not superstitious.
No.
Was there anybody? To be is to be.
Was there anybody that you played with that was really?
Andy Cohen. I started one time. I had a lot of chewing tobacco, you know. I forget what the name of it was. We used to get it at Toledo. They gave us a whole damn big bag of it, and I used to rub it up and I'd go. Base hits. Andy Cohen didn't get too many base hits, you know. And he got to hitting, you know. Gee, hitting. Every day, I never say anything. He never say anything to me. He'd just sit there like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd wait. And I didn't know he was waiting for me to do that there. So that went on for almost a month. And Andy was hitting good. And one day, I forgot to sprinkle him with that and say, base hits. He went 0 for 4 that day. So he never said anything to me, but he sat there the next day, and I come over there. He says, get away from me. He says, you broke the charm. You won't work anymore. You won't work anymore. He went 0 for 4 and then the next day.
Yeah, I have some talk into it.
So Andy says, you started something you should finish. I said, well, Andy, I'm sorry. I forgot.
What would have happened if you two had this kept going? And they kept working. What happened if
probably,
you two had been separated?
He probably led the league because he's getting 2 for 3 and walk and 2 for 4. And
do you think you two are going to be together for the rest of your baseball careers? Or
I mean, what the hell would have happened to him then if he lost me?
Mm-hmm.
Along the but Andy was in the big leagues. You know, the Giants wanted a Jewish shortstop or second baseman real bad. And Andy was it, but he couldn't, he wasn't hitting.
Yeah. Well, just got a couple more questions, Hi. You know, you said that you tore some muscles and you tore a muscle in your leg.
I popped a muscle in the big muscle going
right
up into my
big hamstring?
Hamstring. I pulled that right out.
And then that was 46 that happened, and then the following year you said you heard it again?
46.
And then you heard it again the next year?
45, 46, 47 it was.
Yeah.
I popped that out at, I broke my ankle, you know, when I was with Jersey City there, or when I was with the Giants. I broke my ankle, and that laid me up to the end of the season. And then I went to take a bath one night, and then, you know, the porcelain faucet that you turn the water on? I turned it, a little step, and I turned it, and the damn thing broke. And I cut my hand, sliced the hell out of it.
Hmm.
And I was laid up the whole summer. But then I got to pitch one ball game. That's where Rabbit Moranville was playing third base.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a pop fly out there off of me and got pissed Charlie, or pissed, what's his name, our manager off. He didn't like it because, well, I wasn't in no shape to pitch anyway. But I just throwing the ball up there.
Yeah.
Because that was Philadelphia. Yeah, Philadelphia.
But anyway, that was the second time you hurt your leg. That's how you knew that days were over.
I broke that. My daughter came down. Or my wife came down with a wheel and wheeled me. What'd you get? Some food for me?
How was the when your playing days were done? Was the adjustment from playing baseball just to going back to being a more normal civilian life, let's say, was that easy for you?
Well, no, it wasn't too easy because I was looking forward to playing some more ball, but I didn't know what was going to happen. But they sent me home, and I was out at Winemere, North Dakota, shooting ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call from my wife saying they sent me a check for, I forget how much it was. But they were in the playoffs, you know, and they won that damn thing. And I got a check for about $500 there. Sitting out in the blind shooting ducks, they had me a $500.
Pretty good pay.
I only won one ball game for them.
Yeah.
But it so happened that I was injured. But you know, the funny part of it is, when I popped that muscle, the trainer wanted to massage in there. He took the stone on his finger. I said, get your damn hands out of there. I said, get something and strap that muscle up. Well, I couldn't pitch for all season, you know, because I had that's the leg you pivot on.
Yeah.
And to turn and spring, why?
Yeah.
Then when I was with the Jersey City, I pulled the muscle in my ribs like a damn fool. I was pitching the second game against Newark. And I was sitting there, and nobody hit any fly balls to the outfielder, you know, center field, right, left field. They usually move over so I can hit to him. And I thought, oh, I'll go hit to him. So I swung, and I missed the ball. I felt something twinge, you know. And I hit a couple more, and I said, geez, that pull's funny. It feels funny. So I threw the bat down and went like this here to him. Went in, sat down again, waited till the ball game. When the ball game was over, I got up to warm up, you know, and I come up, and I threw the ball, and I fell on my hands and knees. I couldn't throw a ball. I pulled that to my side. I see some other ball players did that, a couple of them. Pulled this big muscle in here. Jesus, good. When 17, I was gone for 20, 25 ball games, and I still had all of July and August. I could have picked up 5-6 more games. There I had led the league with about 25, 26 games.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, I was pitching shutouts, one after the other, except that was right after that damn thing with Baltimore. Boom, 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 boom.
Well, ever since your playing days were over, up until now, what kind of work have you been in?
Well, I played 16 years of professional baseball. And then I got a job with the Hennepin County Highway Department as an engineering tech. And that was 16 years till I had to relieve because of age. Mm-hmm. At a certain age, you had to, 65, you had to, was it 65?
That's 65 was the age you normally throw people out.
Yeah, 65. Line. Well, I had to retire. And I didn't want to, but I worked about till getting up all the books and everything. Drawing up all the money and stuff that they had to pay the contractor. I sat there and did that all during the winter. So next spring, I was it. I retired. And then a friend of mine has a company over here, and I went to work for them. And I got a pretty good salary over there, and I worked there for 3 years. After retiring, but that's the end of working. I quit after that, you know, and didn't work anymore. I could have, but then they removed that 65 at Hennepin County, and my former engineering boss called and wanted me to come back to work. He says, you can go work now. He says, God damn it, I gotta have you. He says, I got that big bridge job down here by the depot, you know,
yeah.
Union Depot. And He says, come on. He says, oh, damn it. I said, you've got a lot of work. He said, I got some bridge work. And he said, you've got to handle it. And I said, oh, bullshit. Go through that thing before.
Well, we have two more questions. First one, and this can go back anytime. This can go back to high school baseball, semi-pro, minor league, major league, doesn't make any difference. What's your favorite memory or fondest moment?
Fondest moment?
Is there one thing you look back on above all others?
I think back when I was sitting in the Washington, I think it's the Washington School there on 38th Street, and just block off of 4th Avenue. I always used to think about, wouldn't it be wonderful to be in a World Series, and then to have that thing come through. You know, I wondered about that when I used to look at my geography, you know, a big book, and I had some things there to tell me about, you know, all the ball players. Mm-hmm. My brother was over on the other side of me, and he had a electrician's book and everything in there. So that was my main ambition in my life, to be a big league ball player, and I always looked forward to a World Series. Mm-hmm. And I missed the World Series with the Giants the year before. But I wanted that ring so bad, I wish they'd have put me in there right away.
How about, this might be the answer to this question. Last question. If you could go back high and do one thing over again, or if there's one thing you could change over your baseball life, what would it have been?
I don't know. I was pretty happy with the way things were going, except that I was covered up all the way, and that practically ruined my baseball all the way through. Because they were liable to one hell of a big, fine if Landis got a hold of it, because he really shut down. That would be one reason. I don't know what else. I'd go through the same thing again, but yeah. I'd want a little better offer. Wouldn't you?
I think so.
You don't blame me for that.
Certainly don't. Hi, thanks for your time. Pleasure
meeting
you.
Thank you for coming. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I wish I'd have gone over these books a little bit so I can remember a few extra things that maybe would be more interesting.
Well, maybe I'll stop back another time.
You know, when you get old, memories don't last very long,
they're
especially after 50 years.
Okay, thanks.